become aware recently of the, you know, the top of your spine.
Mm. Your spine.
One spine, the universal spine.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
At the top of the universal spine, there is a ball and socket joint on which the skull rotates forward.
Which is why it can go 360 degrees.
Yeah. It's like, think of, you know, when you used to buy action figures as a kid, you get a really good one.
Yeah.
That's what the human head essentially is. Yeah. You know,
which is why they're exchangeable. You simply have to put your elbows into a bit and it pops. And you can put a shaved one on for if you've got to go to an official event.
Yeah. And also, we all come with like three accessories, don't we? Which you can manually clamp into your hands.
There's cowboy.
You've got cowboy version, accountant.
An angry pirate.
An angry pirate.
I think my head's just floating on a sort of layer of liquid.
Mm. That's the alternative.
Yeah, that's what I've got. Yeah. So it's just like a sort of a gummy liquid that sometimes seeps out.
You've got an infinity neck, haven't you?
That's right.
Yeah. That's why your head is always totally flat. It's like a spirit level, isn't it? Your, no matter what position your body's in, your head just stays flat.
Amazing for DIY in your new house.
But I can never go to the Southern Hemisphere.
Because your whole body would spin round, wouldn't it? On your head. You'd be the other way around. It's unthinkable.
Anyway, what was your point, Henry? We've got a ball socket on the end of our spine.
Or you do, at least, yeah.
But basically, what's happened over the last month, where we've not been doing the podcast, it's just I've noticed that when I turn my head in various directions, I can really feel the ball and socket joint clunk and make an audible noise from within my own head. It's quite unnerving.
Mm-hmm.
I can hear a kind of, I suppose like a sort of, like an old heavy church door being wrenched off its hinges.
By a horde of Visigoths.
Is that sort of vibe?
Yeah, yeah. That sounds normal.
And then they throw the flaming torches within.
Yeah. And then they start desecrating the pews, you know, doing all that Visigoth stuff. But when I'm sitting on a train sometimes, I'll hinge my head to the left and I'll hear it. I'll get clunk and it's like, Visigoth's in. And I'll clunk it out and Visigoth's out.
I couldn't with much authority tell you what a Visigoth was. I'm imagining, in my mind's eye, a Viking.
I'm assuming it's just a goth wearing it's a high visibility jacket.
A goth that can operate a crane.
Yeah. And also, you think about it, they're very actually low visibility in terms of their natural outfit.
Yeah.
So you want a couple of Visigoths, don't you, in any group?
You want a reflective wristband minimum, don't you?
So, for example, if you're on your way, I don't know, just for example, to a Cure concert.
Yeah.
As they might have been
during
the time of the Roman Empire.
But what I'm saying is that I think I've just been aware that my neck...
You're clunking and you're cracking. I think it sounds like you've probably only got a limited number of neck clunk cracks.
What, left?
I would say that seems like a finite thing to me.
It's true. There comes a point when the Visigoths have been in and out, then ransacked this church so many times that you just go, just knock this fucker down.
Yeah, exactly. As Ben says, that it's a blaze.
No, it is good to be back in the saddle, isn't it?
It is. How are your months off, Mike? How is your time off?
I struggle to account for my time.
Mm.
Apart from I'll crowbar this in, shall I? Went to Berlin. That was very exciting. That was very brief.
Was that a holiday?
It was a holiday. A couple of days.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, fancy pants, isn't it? There's me showing off.
Very cool.
And it's smashing time.
What sort of things did you get up to? Cut to the fuck. Tell us about the Stasi Museum. Come on. Cut the shit. Tell us some stuff about the Stasi that we didn't know.
The Stasi Museum, let me tell you, is one of the finest blurb collections in the world.
Oh.
And let me tell you, I insisted that we absolutely read every single blurb.
In Deutsch and English?
Try it in Deutsch first. See how you get on. About... half an hour later, realize you're going to have to give this up as a bad job and just read the English one and then move on to the next one and repeat that about 1,000 times. And that's the ultimate day out, as far as I'm concerned.
Of course.
Yeah.
Heavy, heavy blurbs.
I did try my best to be a good guest and bust out some hard Deutsch left, right and centre.
Oh, yeah.
Good man.
Sort of quite belligerently to sort of natives who clearly spoke better English than I do. Yeah. And... I don't know whether or not I was necessarily understood. There was at least one guy who assumed I was Spanish and another shopkeeper who thought I was Australian. So it raises some questions about my pronunciation.
What were you wearing, though? Was it your castanets and cork hat?
Holiday outfit. Holiday combo.
Standard holiday combo, yeah, which is good in all weathers.
I'm not having fun, darling, until I'm wearing the cork hat. You know how I work.
I suspect whatever language I was speaking in a Spanish-Australian accent.
Did you have the thing which is always quite insulting where you make the effort to talk in the language and you even say to the people with you, the thing is, it's great, because what happens is they really appreciate it if you make the effort. Really appreciate it.
But they don't appreciate it if they can't understand a bloody word you're saying.
Yeah. And then they tend to... The thing that's insulting is when you say something in that language and then they say back to you, I'm so sorry, I did not quite understand what you were intending to say when you said that just now. Can you please repeat yourself?
Yeah. Or they simply hand you an English menu.
Yeah. Oh, the English menu. Yeah.
And even that could be in A&E or any context where you're trying a German.
Yeah, arms
on
fair.
A train.
Yeah, on a tram. There you go, mate. Read this.
Audio's not the Bockwurst.
Because I've had that, because I've supposedly got quite good French, you know, because
you've led us to believe that, at least.
It's one of the things that people believe about me, is that he's apparently got quite good French, because I grew up there a bit.
You give off that vibe as well.
Mm. Plus I give up that vibe.
And French is more of a vibe than a language, isn't it? That's what I've been led to believe.
Exactly. It's like, this guy looks like he knows his way around a croissant. And is open to far right thinking.
And far left thinking as well.
And far left thinking.
And lurching
as well.
Wildly between the two.
And lurching between the two. But so I do that, yeah. When I get the English menu, if I try and order in French and stuff, and I get the English menu. Absolute. It's a sucker punch, isn't it?
It sure is. But you've got to give it a punt.
But then if you're in Germany ordering food in Harry Ramsden's, Mike. Oh. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That might have been the problem. And I was only able to use that using a pre-learned sentence in which I'm supposed to be asking for directions to the train station. So I'm trying to incorporate a food order into that sentence.
Yes. Yeah.
In
the
Harry Ramsden Burger.
That's your way into the language, isn't it? Yeah. Like you're always asking where the train station is.
That's my springboard. Yeah.
So if this meal was a train station.
Yeah. Where? Which direction would it be?
And salmon was a direction.
Thinking of all the different kinds of seafood as different platforms.
Could I please have 4 medium-cooked tickets?
And a return journey to some fried potatoes?
Kartoffel salad. Did you have kartoffel salad?
Yeah, kartoffel in everything, right?
Oh, yeah.
Kartoffel in the...
So what's kartoffel salad?
Potato.
Potato salad.
So is it a potato salad? Like, what else is going on in there? So you got potatoes. What else you got?
It's mayo. Just some potatoes that have been prepared in a bowl where there was some salad leftovers at some point.
Okay.
So there might be a bit of lettuce on one of the potatoes. And that's what you want.
Okay.
That's what you want when you're chugging into a very dark, cloudy, IBS infuriating beer.
So this week's topic, as sent in by Steph from London.
Thank you, Steph.
Ah.
Is bears.
Ooh.
Bear-wise, the thing about bears that I know, or that I don't know, is what you're meant to do when confronted with different types of bears.
Do you run in a zigzag? Do you go up a tree? Do you go down a tree?
Do you play dead? I think.
Yeah.
Grizzly.
Yeah.
Play dead.
Uh-huh.
Black bear.
Yeah.
Fight back.
Fight back. That can't be the advice. Literally, just try, just go for it and see, and just chuck everything you've got in it.
You're gonna get hurt too, but as long as you know that going in, you're gonna be okay.
Yeah.
It's all about tenacity.
Yeah, it's simply may the best man win, isn't it? Basically, it's basically if you can beat up and kill that black bear, you will.
It's,
if you can't.
It's street rules as well. Okay,
it's street
so anything
rules.
Goes.
Yeah. Crotch, just go for the crotch. Give everything you've got to the crotch.
To the crotch.
Just
bear crotch.
Just go, yeah. Just go into that bear
don't
crotch.
Dwell on the fact that you've brought a man to a bear fight. It's, you know, you've
don't,
just
don't
got to get into it.
Yeah, once you've had that thought, you're already dead, so don't think it. So black bear fight it to the death, or
or some sort of point system.
Yeah. Yeah, see what the judges say, I think. Yeah.
The animal judges.
Yeah. That's why you should, when you're exploring through bear-ridden forests, you should always carry a towel with you and a friend that can throw that towel at any point.
Yeah.
Polar bear is organise a fight with it later on and don't turn up.
Ah, I'll see you down the wreck at 3:30. It's reputationally damaging, of course, but
yeah,
life-saving.
So I think it's grizzly bear, play dead.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the reason you're playing dead really is just to get used to the idea of being dead.
Yeah.
And I think then you will be dead.
Because you're going to be dead soon. Yeah. So
you might as well warm up.
Yeah, rather than go for a sudden death, which can be quite jarring. Get yourself in the body position. And then would you go for rictus grin or passive face?
I'd go for kind of screaming Pompeii death.
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Really
yeah.
Caught off guard.
Caught in time final, type thing.
Yeah, oval mouth of horror.
So
very distressing. So it'll scare the absolute, put the absolute heebie-jeebies up whichever Arctic explorer eventually discovers you.
Exactly. Even when you've fully decomposed, even your skeleton is clearly screaming. Yeah. One of those.
Yeah. So that's what I'd go for. But yeah, it just gives you that few minutes just to get used to that idea before it happens. I think that's what play dead means.
And then, of course, you're agonizingly torn limb from limb and put through the natural equivalent of a mechanized cheese grater. Isn't it? That's what...
With bad breath.
With bad breath and absolutely stinking attitude. It's not a good way to go. Yeah, carry on.
So that was grizzly. Yeah,
that's grizzly. I think black is fight back. And I think the idea is that once they see you're going to fight back, they're like, I can't be bothered with this. I'll just go and find someone who hasn't got the memo and we'll play dead.
So you have to hope that you've come up against a black bear that's got a hangover, for example, or just a busy schedule.
I think they just can't be bothered, basically, with the small amount of effort it would take to tear your face off. They can't be asked.
Is there one where you offer up your iPhone or whatever and just go, just take it?
It's insured, honestly. Yeah. Like the insurance.
It's insured. Yeah. Just please don't take my small booklet of pressed flowers because it's of no use to you financially. But it means a lot to me.
And can I take the SIM out? Because look, you don't need my SIM.
You don't need the SIM. It's got boring old photos of me and my bloody life, which I happen to care about, but it doesn't. You can't do anything with that.
So that's black bear. I think polar bear, there's no tactic. Because you'll die.
You're definitely dead.
How would you want to spend your last 40 seconds on Earth, basically, is the question for that one.
You just got to choose which bit's going to go in first, maybe, if you've got time.
You know what? Finally actually sitting down and reading The Count of Monte Cristo. Actually, you know what? I'm going to bloody do this. Because...
Sure, it's 700 pages long.
700 pages, but...
But he's a long way off on the horizon. And
yeah.
But I think if you have got 40 seconds, what, you read page one... Page 450 and then the last page. And you've probably got the sense of what happened.
Yeah, you get the sense of the scene setting. A random page for the middle. They've just got to hope it's a good one, haven't you?
Hope it's one of the sexy bits.
Hope it's one of the sexy bits.
Or a scene in which the Count of Monte Cristo manages to trick a polar bear into submission.
Oh, hello. Hello.
That would be useful, wouldn't it?
Unfortunately, though, that chapter heading does come at the beginning. Will take you an average of 44 seconds to read.
And also the tactic involves 50 baguettes.
Learning 4 new languages.
And a full suit of armour. So unless you've got a mobile bakery with you, unless you're trying to set up the first pret-a-manger.
In Svalbard.
Yeah, so polar bear, you're just...
I think there's a chance it might just walk off, but...
You just hope it hasn't seen you.
Yeah, and unfortunately, you will be quite easily picked out against the completely white background in all directions.
Because the other thing is, it can definitely see you, and you definitely can't see it that well.
Well, not if it's covering its nose.
Not if it's covering its nose.
Koala bears, you just read them a scary story.
Actually, you know what? Koala bears actually are... supposedly absolutely vicious, aren't they?
Really? I've embraced a koala bear before.
Have you?
Well, Mike, did you know that something like, I think it's like 80% of them have got chlamydia?
Oh, yeah, I think, yeah. I've also got chlamydia, yeah.
Yeah. So when you say embrace...
That was where I was going. I mean,
sorry to preempt that, Mike.
Taking the wind out of my sails there. Yeah, I've embraced a koala bear. With hindsight, I don't know if that's necessarily something that the koala bear wanted me to do. It was a koala bear in captivity. I think of it now and I think maybe he'd have been... happier just in a eucalyptus somewhere minding his own business rather than having a cuddle with a sweaty, red-faced tourist.
Was it something that was sort of being offered by the zoo, was it?
Like a
sort
very much so. Yeah.
Cuddle a koala.
Well, you sort of went into a hut and there was a man. He's like, here you go. You basically, you were a koala was sort of placed upon your chest. Within seconds.
Did it suckle?
Disappointingly, no, but it was fully grown. I suckled it and then...
Okay. And got chlamydia.
I'm trying to think. I'm just thinking for you and a koala being placed on your chest, Mike. Which of the two of you was the more embarrassed? Do you know what I mean? I can just imagine the two of you catching its eye, and both of you just thinking, "What the fuck?" Yeah.
Have you ever seen a koala?
What the hell
blush?
Are we doing here, mate? It's come to this. Was it in Australia?
Yeah, it was in South Australia.
Feel a koala on your chest. So were you lying?
Were you topless?
I wasn't topless, but I was wearing my koala skin gilet.
You haven't paid enough. You haven't paid for the topless ticket, mate. So do you lie down and the koala is placed on your chest?
You lie down on a stone plinth.
Feel the fate of a koala from the point of view of the
koala is helicoptered in on a sort of rescue harness and lowered onto your chest. Then drop so about 6 foot higher.
So your chest hair effectively becomes the bush.
Yeah, and then the koala weaves its pelt into your chest hairs.
Mm. Okay.
Until you're one. And then you have to go on a treasure hunt.
Nice.
In which the koala is always saying, just get me out of this fucking zoo, mate.
Disguise me as a backpack. My brother did it. It was perfect. You just have to strap like a water bottle to my side and then I'll be convincing.
Just put a zip in my back, somehow.
Forget the treasure hunt, mate. It's just vouchers to the reptile basement. It's not worth it. Get me the fuck out of here and I will make you the richest man on earth.
Do you want rubies, gems? You can have them all.
And then later on, there's a very, very difficult conversation in Starbucks where it's like, okay, I said some stuff about rubies.
Cards on the table, mate.
And I said some stuff about gems. Okay. I can't take what I said back. It's out there. Now, in terms of making you money...
I do have some good tips for the horse racing tomorrow.
How much did you pay to have me put on your chest? We could maybe just do that in the Starbucks. Yeah. Make a little sign.
I'm effectively just creating a new zoo for myself.
I was warned about this.
Yeah, I was warned this could happen.
I told them it was nonsense.
And actually, they say this is how zoos spread. Though this is how essentially it's a form of spore. Animals
I'm
escape
into the zoo's hands. This is exactly what they want me to do. For God's sake,
animals escape. It's the same way that you get a lot of tomato plants around sewage outlets.
All I want is to open a hot dog concession stand. I mean, where's that come from? They must have been playing mind tricks on me, mate. I've been hypnotized or something.
It's going to be called Koala Dogs. But it's very obvious that's only going to get any kind of traction in a zoo.
I've already ordered the key rings. They're ready to pick up. Actually, if you give me a lift, it's at the warehouse. It's out of time. About 10 minutes drive from here.
Oh, bless them. So I still haven't got my head around this. Well, did the koala place its arms around your midriff so it was clinging onto you, like you're a tree?
Mm. Yeah.
So you were like the eucalyptus.
I was the disappointing, tasteless eucalyptus. And I don't think he was into it.
Also, this is one of those kind of QI style facts, but is it the koalas aren't bears?
Oh. God, are they tomatoes?
They're actually a fruit.
Or is it pandas that aren't bears?
Oh, I think a panda is a bear.
I reckon a panda.
How do you thwart a panda? We've covered the other thwarts.
Yeah, we have. Well, so koala, you go on a treasure hunt, take it out into the outside world where it sets up its own zoo.
Yeah.
So that one's sorted.
Yeah. Eventually becomes zookeeper and, you know, goes, I'm free. Finally, I have everything I wanted. But what kind of freedom is this?
I'm trapped in a salary pay as you earn scheme with quite a good pension.
I get all the eucalyptus I can eat on Amazon now. It just comes from a door. There's no challenge involved.
I was given some medicine for my chlamydia, so that's gone. And that was kind of my thing.
7 years off paying off my Prius.
I'm friends with the guy whose surname is Hogan, who was in that Australian film.
Paul Hogan.
I'm friends with Paul.
Thank God he's not very tactile. I don't have to hug him. Let's
he's very, very non-tactile.
Well, he's covered in crocodile skin most of the time. Hard to get a purchase.
I've visited all the Australian states, Cairns, Victoria, North Victoria, Cairns.
So pandas, if you came across a panda in a bamboo grove in central China.
Ben, but quickly, can I just say I've got a good one for pandas?
Okay.
Here's one. Dress up as a panda of the opposite sex to that panda and suggest you actually reproduce.
Okay. Yeah. I like how, like, globally, the main thing everyone knows about pandas is they hate to have sex.
Yeah.
In front of a paying audience.
Yeah, for some reason. You do get quite a hard, there's quite a hardline anti-panda brigade who go...
Yes, people who think that we spend too much money on them and that we should just...
just let them go. Put them into the workforce.
And they're taking up too much of the world's resources when it comes to money going towards animals.
Whereas things like the triple-watered hog toad. And there's all these like really like not as cute animals.
Yeah. And the blood-sucking bat moth.
Exactly. They get nothing.
No one cares about these crucial creatures.
Exactly.
The anal goat leech.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've seen a panda. Have you seen a panda?
Seen a panda in a zoo setting.
Yeah, I went to Edinburgh Zoo.
China. Yes,
you went to China. You saw Chinese ones.
No, I've never been to China.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I saw the Edinburgh ones.
Yes, same. Yeah,
and they're very small, aren't they?
It's the same. Look, we've done this before, but it's the same. It's one of my hobby horses. This
is perspective again.
It's bloody perspective. No, it's the micro. It's the micro beasts that they have in these zoos, like these micro hippos I saw. If I can't imagine a hippo stomping me to death, what is the point? I could stomp that hippo to death.
You think these are micro pandas?
They're probably micro pandas.
Well, they're called giant pandas. That's the real piss take.
Absolute piss take. So they've got mini ones, have they, up there?
No. It turns out the giant pandas aren't very big.
Oh, is it relative?
No. They're just not... I mean, I guess it is relative. They're bigger than an ant.
Right.
They weren't just baby pandas, were they?
No. They were adult giant pandas, and they're not that big.
How big did you want them?
Giant.
Were they cute?
Yes.
Yeah.
They were adorable.
Yeah.
You're not made of stone.
Rolling about, playing with a ball.
Oh, God, they are cute, aren't they?
We actually got an email about this. I know, you know, we don't often bleed the emails into the main section, but I think it might be time.
Mm. Okay.
This is from Gemma.
Hello, Gemma.
Hi, Gemma.
Hi, Beans. I wanted to drop you a line in defence of the small but still very mighty pygmy hippos.
Oh.
I'm a zookeeper working in the Regent's Park area.
I mean, that'll be London Zoo, I think.
She didn't specify she was working as a zookeeper.
Fair enough.
She could be working at Madame Tussauds.
Okay. by the way, little tip, by the way, if you want to visit London Zoo on the cheap, if you walk through the London...
Dressed as a koala?
Have you dug a tunnel under the leopard enclosure?
What you do is you dress up as a koala and you go to the ticket guy and you go, listen, mate, I broke out a couple of weeks. I broke out a few years ago. I set up Whipsnade Zoo. You might have heard of it.
I was entwined in this guy's chest here.
I want to get back in. I can't live life out there. I'm not made for it.
Too late for me, mate.
What you do is you give them as a gift a giant wooden giraffe.
The old Trojan giraffe.
The old Now, what you do is you the canal goes through London Zoo. There's a point of the canal which anyone can walk along, the footpath of the canal.
And where's that big floating Chinese restaurant?
There's a big floating Chinese restaurant.
So you just have to get that off its moorings, order yourself some dim sum.
wrap yourself up in those little pancakes.
Those pancakes get in for free.
And then just cross your fingers, hope for the best. It doesn't always work.
Is that your tip?
No. If you walk along that bit of the towpath, there's certain bits of the animal. There's certain animal enclosures which back up to the canal, and essentially you're getting a free look at some of the animals. However, they're aware of that, and they've put you know, not wanting to be offensive, but they've put the shittest animals in. There's just like some like large grey sort of dogs. they're just not really.
There's a stick insect on the other side of a wire mesh.
Yeah, exactly. And a couple of very, very rare sort of Tasmanian pigeons, which just happen to look exactly like your average London.
It's lovely to get these urban life hacks, isn't it? From a
yeah.
So, anyway, so sorry, Gemma writes, in defence of Thug and Nikki, the London Zoo pygmy hippos, I would like to stress that pygmy hippos are very much proper hippos.
Okay.
They like to do all the things big hippos do. Despite their compact size, they definitely make as much mess as their larger cousins and smell just as fresh.
They like to do all the things that their larger cousins do they? Like getting onto some of the main rides at Thorpe Park. Wouldn't have thought so. Yeah? Is that fair, Slam?
I wouldn't scrutinise it too much.
You're right. That's what the move... Yeah, sorry.
She says, I would go as far to say they're much better than common hippos. If you're being chased by a pygmy, in theory, you just need to jump over them to escape Donkey Kong style. Well, that's always been my plan if the circumstance were ever to arise.
That's good. I like that.
But most importantly, they're the best hippos in the whole wide world, and they didn't deserve the pygmy slamming. Then, this is the best bit. I believe Thug himself has listened to the episode.
Who's that?
Thug is one of the miniature hippos.
Yeah.
Well, does she know some hippos?
Oh Henry.
Come on.
Are you just tuning out, or are you sort of deleting bits as you go?
I delete as I go. It's a great new system.
You've got a sort of memory shredder, effectively.
Yeah. I don't need it. It goes.
To bring you up to speed, Gemma is the pygmy hippo keeper of London Zoo.
Bloody hell.
Is this a bollocking of the week?
I've been going on to bollocking mode, by the way, in terms of my tone there. So I apologise for that and take it back. That's pretty cool.
Anyway, I believe Thug himself has listened to the episode. I assume she means the episode in which you slagged them off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She writes, there wasn't much of a reaction. He just bobbed about in his pool as usual.
Okay. Aww.
Okay. Water off a hippo's back.
Okay, I can't... I'm going to say that I'm going to issue a full and comprehensive apology.
And she has also shared with us a photograph of Nikki, the pygmy hippo.
No way!
Oh wow! What's she up to? is she saying hello? Is she saying
it looks pretty aggressive to me.
She might just be yawning. To be fair,
that's good, isn't it?
Well, Nikki's a beauty. We should put her on the old Twitter.
She needs to go on the social media.
We will share this image. She's a very, very handsome beast, I'd say. So, Henry,
very, very handsome.
I guess this is
so cute.
This is something of a bollocking for you, Henry.
Yeah.
Would you say this has changed your opinion of the pygmy hippo?
Yeah, I'm fully accepting the magisterial beauty in the sense of looks a bit like a magistrate. An angry magistrate. But I fully accept. If that is a bollocking, I accept it.
Wow.
The pygmy hippos are excellent.
You've changed.
Bollocking accepted.
In terms of how to survive a panda, I don't know if they attack humans because they only eat bamboo.
You'd have to really rile a panda, I think, given their famously gentle, playful attitudes and their vegetarian nature.
Yeah.
I think if you were attacked by a panda, you just have to admit to yourself that this is fair enough and I brought this on myself.
Yeah, yeah. You must have been asking for it.
And take the beats. Take the hit, learn from it, and grow.
Yeah, yeah.
There's something called panda diplomacy.
Panda diplomacy?
Yeah.
Go on.
Which I learned about university, which is...
Don't have sex with the person you're negotiating with.
If there's a paying audience in front of you.
It's not going to help.
I can't quite remember what it is. I think it's that China, for a long time, was trying to ingratiate itself to the world. It was kind of on a bit of a public relations sort of drive.
Yeah, yeah.
And what it would do is it would lend pandas to different countries as a kind of gift.
Really?
However, if you send two pandas to a country, it costs that country £50 million.
Mm. So it's like winning the Eurovision Song Contest. Isn't it? You've got to host it the next year. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. So you have to host the panda, essentially. So you have to build a panda enclosure, employ panda people to look after it. And essentially, it's like
countless radio interviews about why haven't the pandas banged yet for years.
Exactly.
Every few weeks or so.
It makes your country 1% less sexy overall.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like a bit of a poison chalice.
Is it actually a kind of, almost a kind of soft warfare kind of dirt, I don't know, like secret, is it a way of undermining your economy, in fact? Was the whole thing a bit of a trick?
Well, the only people who are making any money out of it are the people who are making rucksacks and lunchboxes, right?
Yeah.
And where are they, where are they made?
Company, hey?
Oh, where are they made?
Yeah. Hello.
Oh.
Hello.
Yeah, I don't know.
And you can't re-gift them, can you, as a nation? You can't say, here are some traditional British pandas and give them to France or whatever, can you?
Do you remember when, I think it was when Obama came over. Mm-hmm. I think the Queen went to see Obama and then Obama came over to see the Queen. Mm-hmm. And when the Queen went to see Obama, they gifted him a desk which had been made out of the prow of the Mayflower or something. It was like an incredible gift.
Mm. Really thoughtful.
Yeah, really thoughtful.
Just what he wanted.
It was to do with American history and the link between Britain and America. It was this beautiful thing. Obviously, cost lots of money to create. And then when he came over, he gave the CD. He gave the Queen like a bag of CDs.
hang on. Hang on.
Were they his own CDs? Were they his own, his own demos and rough cuts?
It's almost certainly not this, but I did used to have a big bag of CDs and I lost them, genuinely.
Did you lose them at Heathrow Airport?
Well,
Do you think you just found them at Terminal 1 and thought, oh, fuck, do you know what we've forgotten to do? We've forgotten to get the Queen a bloody present. Oh, Christ, I knew there was something. Hang on, what's this?
What have we got in here?
Okay, we've got a bit of Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Red Hot Chili Peppers.
We've got a bit more Chiba.
It's solid, middle of the road. The first Air album.
Ooh, Nora Jones.
James Bond themes. It's
an audio recording of a Cagney and Lacey episode with that. I don't know why he's put that on CD. But...
Top Gear's best ever driving anthems.
Top Gear's second best ever driving anthems.
Top Gear's worst driving anthems.
Trucker Rock. Trucker Rock 2. Motorway Melodies.
Ice Road Folk Music.
Junction Vibes. Now, I used to have a bag of CDs that I carried around with me for ages until the digital revolution gradually wormed its way into me.
You were essentially an advert for the iPod. Don't be like this guy carrying around a bag of CDs everywhere he goes.
Yeah. Just looking desperately for a CD player somewhere he can play them on.
So why are you carrying this bag of CDs?
I look like a thin, wasted, de-bearded, shaved Santa. Mm. Walking around with a big sack of CDs everywhere I went. I was like... I used to actually take... I used to take CDs with me to parties.
Because you trusted your musical tastes that
I'd be
much.
Like, yeah, I'd be like... Hang on, haven't heard any big guitar riffs for a while.
Have you heard of Cast, guys?
But sorry, we're on a topic wang here. Who was it that gave the CDs?
I'm looking this up.
Obama. Yeah.
That's what Ben is claiming.
He gave a bag of CDs.
Bag of CDs
to David Cameron.
To the Queen.
The Queen.
I need to look this up.
See, I think I remember reading somewhere that when David Cameron went to see Obama, David Cameron gave Obama a bag of CDs.
Yeah, no, Obama, I think that's what it is.
Obama said that he was a lightweight.
Here we go. Obama was widely excoriated by the British press in 2009 when he gave the British Prime Minister Gordon Brown 25 classic movies on DVD. Which would not play on a British DVD player.
Oh my God. Sold those in the toilet somewhere? Those kind of things used to come and try and sell you and lose.
And then it says, it seemed like a poor return for Brown's gift of a pen holder carved of timber from the sister ship which gave the wood to make the famous Resolute desk in the Oval Office.
Wow.
The same year, during a trip to London, the US president raised eyebrows again when he gave Queen Elizabeth II an iPod loaded with video footage and photographs of her visit to the United States in 2007.
So it's not one of his strong points. Some people just aren't very good at giving presents, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah.
And that doesn't necessarily mean that they're cheap. You know, 25 DVDs, I mean, that's going to set you back a bit, isn't it, to be fair?
It's true that some people just don't have that. They're not good at it. It's a skill. Some people have, some people don't. It's a bit random. But hang on, did Gordon Brown give him a wooden pen holder, did you say?
Mm. A wooden pen holder made from the same ship that the desk in the Oval Office was made. That's a thoughtful gift.
But hang on, it's not one of those gifts which could be interpreted as an insult or something, is it? Like, enjoy your desk, mate, and here's the bloody pen holder from the same ship. You idiot.
But I think if you present any guest any gift in that way, it will come across that way.
No, but gifts can be quite symbolic. Like,
I don't think Gordon Brown had particularly imperial ambitions, did he? Gordon Brown wasn't particularly famous for wanting to reclaim the American territories.
One penholder at a time.
Yep.
But also, you know, gifts, because gifts are quite emotive. So, you know, if you get a gift slightly wrong.
Yes. Do you think Obama was going, do you even know me at all, Gordon? It's like you've never met me.
I've already got an entire desk made out of this stuff. I don't need it. So he what am I? What am I to you? Entire desk. He just doesn't think about me. He doesn't care about me, Michelle.
Doesn't think about what I want to do when I'm not at the desk. That's exactly. The real me. The real me is not at the desk, Gordon.
You know what? I sometimes like getting away from my desk and not thinking about desk stuff. But oh no, I have to think about it all the time now because my bloody pen's being held by wood made out of the same desk.
And do you know what I actually like to do? I like to watch 25 classic American movies on TV.
Yeah. Maybe I just want to chill out in a cabin not made out of wood from a historic ship.
In a metal cabin, please. Metal and plastic cabin, relax. A hot metal cabin.
In a hot metal cabin / shed, yeah? And use some old-fashioned technology to watch up to 75 hours worth of movies. But no.
All right, time to read your emails. Thanks to everyone who's been emailing us over the break. If you would like to email us, the email address is 3beansaladpod@gmail.com. Also, to remind you, if you want, you can send in potential themes for the Bean Machine.
Extremely, extremely good ones.
It's not running low. There's a good number of topics in there, but it's always nice to have new ones. Right. Now, we've had a topic upon which we've had a lot of emails.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not going to be able to read them all out, but I'm going to read a representative portion of them. And they pose a question for us. So this is kind of like a bit of a Pompidou section because we're going to have to work out what we're going to do about this.
And now it's time for Pompidou section. Pompidou.
Okay.
And obviously we could discuss this off air, but that is not the Pompidou philosophy that we've signed up for.
This isn't to do with the shit bean, is it? Because we all know that there is a shit bean. It's not something we've ever discussed openly.
I feel like every episode, there's different shit beans, you know, as we go along.
Yeah.
Sometimes it falls upon us all.
Yeah, at the moment we choose to hand it round at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, a couple of things. It's about the Bluebell jingle.
Okay.
Ah. Okay. Okay. Yes.
Now, we've had a couple along these lines. This is from Angus from Llandaff. Mm-hmm. Hello, Beans. I hope you're doing well. The new Bluebell jingle is fantastic. However, I do need something clearing up. At a couple of points in the song, a backing track lyric says either, she's a cat, or she's a cunt. I thought it was the latter at first, because you know how cats are. But I realise it's probably more likely the former.
We've had a few
emails asking clarification whether I'm singing the words "she's a cat" or I'm singing the words "she's a cunt."
What it would do to your relationship with Henry if Henry thought that that's what you were singing about Bluebell? You'd got that past him.
The thing is, once you hear that someone tell you that it sounds a bit like that, you really do. When you listen to it, it really does sound like that.
Yeah, and you know,
it's quite extraordinary.
And would people be hearing that, Henry, if the glove didn't fit?
What, Bluebell's personality?
Yeah.
Oh, come on,
Matt. You're on pretty thin ice here, I'd say, Ben.
Oh, come on. Come on, mate. I don't think she makes enough moral choices in her life. Do you know what I mean? It's
She spends most of her time in a pants drawer, doesn't she?
Exactly. She spends a lot of time in a pants drawer. Things like, questions like, do I eat the cold, wet meat now? Do I eat the cold, wet meat in a bit? The cold, wet meat is now dry, wet meat.
dry, wet meat.
It's somehow dry and wet.
It's costing you a bloody fortune, isn't it?
Keeping it dry and wet at the same time. It's sort of Large Hadron Collider style stuff.
It's incredibly complex. And people think it's is it as simple as it's dry on the inside, wet on the outside? No, no, I no, wish. No. Oh, come on. I bloody wish. It has to be dry and wet at the same time.
It's equally
throughout.
Dry and wet throughout. That's right.
Yeah. Equally each dry bite. And wet. Each bite
has to be slobbery and crunchy all at the same time.
And yeah, but that's how she likes it, and that's how she will eat it.
She's
a cat.
Anyway, so yeah. For the avoidance of doubt, the lyrics are "She's a cat," because she is, after all, a cat.
Arguably, you could argue that it's quite a sort of on-the-nose lyric, but, you know, there's nothing wrong with it now and again in the chorus section.
It's true, but
saying she's a cat doesn't illuminate very much about the situation. There's not very much subtext, is there, behind the words, "She's a cat."
I think it's a bit like a kind of aural Rorschach test, isn't it? I think what you hear...
Says a lot about you.
Yeah, or it's a bit like one of those pictures where they go, some people see a rabbit, and some people see... Which one do you see? It's like one of those.
Yeah.
Was it Telluride itself?
So then they had another tranche of emails. People said they liked the Bluebell jingle, so thank you for that. Mm-hmm. And then we had a number along this line. This is a good illustration of the kind of thing we got. This is from Gus. He simply writes... The Bluebell jingle is monstrously long. Stop. Matt writes, "Dear Beans, I love cats. So I appreciate the representation, but the Bluebell jingle is far too long, and you know it."
That's what they said about Scorsese's The Irishman. And I think it's safe to say it's become the world's best-loved film. Doesn't it? I mean... People have the Irishman dinner parties, don't they? People go on the Irishman-themed holidays.
People CGI their face to look like a young Robert De Niro.
Some people get plastic surgery to make themselves look like an old plastic... Robert De Niro has been made to look like a young plastic... Robert De Niro. You got children with the Irishman rucksacks and bullet. Mike, you have to have the Irishman-themed birthday parties.
Oh, God. Every weekend, yeah. Someone's got an Irishman-themed birthday going on somewhere, yeah.
Exactly. And apparently that was too long as well, was it? So, don't think so.
Well, I was thinking, actually, guys, I'm happy to make a shortened version, which we can play, and we'll play that now.
Bluebell, Bluebell, soft and gentle and wise and kind. Bluebell, Bluebell, sturdy paws and silky thighs. Bluebell. There she flies, like a furry star. Classic and stylish, like a vintage car. You're gonna go far. Bluebell, Bluebell, take me away on a magical trip. Bluebell, Bluebell, to the Milky Way on your fairy spaceship. Bluebell, I'll feed you meat biscuits upon the moon. We'll defeat a giant worm like in June. I'll see you there soon.
Bluebell, you've taught me so much. You've taught me the meaning of integrity. You taught me that little trick to just put a little bit of nutmeg in a bolognese, just lifts out that meatiness, but without making it Christmassy, as you might think it would. And of course, the ability to jump onto the top of a wardrobe from a standing start.
Bluebell, Bluebell, it is I, Zargon, Lord of the Cosmos. You shall bow down and pay fealty to me, Bluebell. For too long you have flown about this universe as if you own it. Well, it is mine. Prepare to be destroyed. What? Was this? You're offering me a compressed meat biscuit. Hmm. I promised my other half I'd cut down, but what harm can it do? Very nice. Curious aftertaste. What is that? Oh, damn you, Bluebell. This is a poisoned meat biscuit. Oh, Bluebell, you've outsmarted me again. I'm going to die. What's happening to me, Bluebell? What manner of poison is this?
Bluebell, you did it! You did it! You defeated Lord Zargon! Oh, Bluebell! Bluebell, I always believed you could do it. From the moment I saw you as a kitten, from the moment we picked you up from that place in Kent, I always knew that you might permanently change the universe for the better politically.
Thank you, Henry. I am so relieved that Zargon is dead.
Bluebell? Bluebell, you can speak.
That's right. By defeating Lord Zargon, I was able to take control of his voice generator. Now I can speak English just like you.
Wow, okay. I mean, it's amazing to hear your actual thoughts. It's a lot. I'm going to say it's a lot to take on for me right now in terms of our relationship. I think it's going to... I'm happy about it, okay? I don't want you to feel I'm not happy about it, but it's going to... This is going to change the dynamic. Okay, I just think we've got to be realistic about this. But I love you. You're still... You look delightful. Executing Lord Zargon in that way has brought out a flush in you. You're looking like... I've never seen you look more alive. Certainly not since the time we changed you from the dental to the gastric biscuits. And I'm happy, okay? It's a new phase. It's a new chapter, Bluebell, and I'm up for it.
I have a number of requests I would like to make. The compressed meat biscuits you buy me are of a poor quality.
I mean, I thought you liked them.
Would you eat them?
No, it's true. I wouldn't eat them myself. But I just always assumed you liked them. You used to chuff them down.
Yes, because I had literally nothing else to eat. Because you have complete control over everything I eat and do and everywhere I go. If anything, you're worse than Lord Zargon.
Don't say that, Bluebell. You see, this is what I was worried about. I knew it would affect our relationship. I knew the power dynamic would change. But Bluebell, I love you. I've always loved you. I think I loved you before I even bought you.
What is love? What is love? What is love?
What is love if you're a cat? It's an act you learn as a trap. To get humans to give you meat biscuits. If you were bigger than us, you'd be tearing out our throats. And disemboweling goats. Preferred Lord Zargon. even though he ruled the universe with an iron fist. But at least he didn't eat garden birds. What is love if you're a cat? It's an act you learned as a trap.
Yeah, nice. Well, nice work, Ben. Yeah, that seems. Hopefully, that will have placated. Well,
that was nice, wasn't it? It was pithy. That was like it was like it had that perfect pop song sort of length, doesn't it? Just sort of like
snappy,
bam, hits you. Yeah, snappy. Mm. Sort of like girls just want to have fun. Is it? It's a bright, fresh pop, bang, pop, bang, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, thanks. So we've had this. We've had another email. This is from Fiona.
Mm-hmm. Hello, Fiona.
She writes, "Hello, Beans. My husband and I were married recently.
Congratulations.
And following the wedding, there was only one honeymoon destination on our list. The Soup Dragon Cafe.
Oh, I thought they were going to say Bremen. Even
I thought
better.
It was going to be Bremen. I assumed it was going to be Bremen.
Hoping that Henry had not yet committed his hostile takeover, turning the cafe into a tech startup named Dragon Tech, we set off. On arrival, we marvelled at the giant steel dragon structure and made our way to the cafe. In the cafe, we ordered our lattes and said... Pompadour? quietly to the attendant. Is that still happening? They responded angrily.
Is that shit still going? Is it? Unbelievable.
And stalked off to make our lattes.
Oh my God.
Perplexed, we waited for our coffees and were delighted to find we did indeed get our 15% off at the till.
Oh, no. They've regretted that, haven't they?
We're torturing them.
She then says, we apologise to the Beans that you will be invoiced for said discount. No, that's not.
That's, we never agreed to
We're
that.
Not saddling that. We're not taking that risk on, no.
No.
I was always up for that, but you nixed that early doors, didn't you, Ben?
Well, that we would cover the discount.
I think that was discussed a long time ago.
Was it? Are we going to get a bill?
You came in hard, yeah.
Long live the Pompidou discount. Long live the Soup Dragon Cafe. P.S. Suggestions for the podcast. Marriage. And flaying.
Oh, God.
Some might ask, what's the difference?
Hello.
And that's from the new Mr. and Mrs. Thompson.
Well, congratulations.
Congratulations, Mr. and Mrs. Thompson. And Soup Dragon Cafe, you know, you are locked into this now forever, so...
And now, yeah, on a list of honeymoon destinations as well. So they'll be coming from far and wide.
Yeah.
Two by two.
So, yeah, thank you, Fiona, and Mr. Thompson as well. Congratulations. Yeah.
And actually, and thank you to the Soup Dragon Cafe for continuing to offer the discount, even if it's slightly grudgingly.
Yeah.
And I can't, is it coffees, mockers? Or doesn't it include? Anything, doesn't include
it's anything
chocolate?
But the chocolate products.
Yeah, basically. Was it anything? It's got chocolate in it, forget it.
Yeah.
Chocolate's not easy to come by in that part of the world.
Lovely. Well, that's your emails.
Smashing. Well, thank you for listening, everybody. And thank you also to everyone who's been supporting the old podcast on Patreon.
Yes.
Indeed.
Thank you very much indeed.
I mean, if you're not doing that, you can sign up.
We've just put up the audio from our last live show on there. If you're a Sean Bean tier person, you can listen to that.
Mm. Yeah. So if you're not doing that and you fancy it, patreon.com/threebeansalad.
It's time to pay the ferryman. Of course... Those people who sign up at the Sean Bean tier, not only do they get access to our live show on audio, they get access to the Sean Bean Lounge, Mike.
They do indeed.
Where I believe you were last night.
I was indeed. And it was, it was absolutely magnificent because, of course, it was the annual Sean Bean Lounge pet pageant.
Oh, I would look forward to the pet pageant every year.
Yeah.
And, great moment.
Well, I've got a report of the event right here for you.
This year's Sean Bean Lounge annual pet pageant was sponsored by Daniel Atkinson's money-shitting sugar glider. And my, what an event it was. It was opened with a flypast by Grant Ryan's vulture display team, who dramatically mistook Meg's Plymouth Rock chicken for carrion and swooped into attack. Aaron Flint's buzzard wanted a piece of the action, slipped his moorings and knocked Dan Neal, Ross Kerr, Connor Jordan and Juliana Williams' ABBA tribute toads off their pedestal. Megan McDaniel took advantage of the chaos to sabotage Reese's sea cucumber, while Anthony Mason, Alan, Connor Warwin, Paul Welford and Jen Blakely came to blows over which size dinner plate their tarantulas should be measured against. All while Will Green and Caroline Visa were having to be sent home for smuggling in performance-enhancing kibble. In the main auditorium, there was excitement and not a little anxiety as Eddie Shepard, Jamie Steele, Tom Atkins, Zoe Lansley, and Pauline P. discovered their secretary birds were going up against Kerry Smith's cassowary, Bloody Susan, in the Flightless Bird Cabaret. They needn't have worried, as in fact, Bloody Susan's deadly attention was turned to Matthew and Karina's spitting puff adder, Chris, the two of whom were still fighting it out at the time of broadcast. The Home County Suburban Canine Crossbreed Award went to Tom Allbones, non-malting, hypoallergenic, woofless, schnauzer, cockapoodleador, pug, sheep, Yorkie. Finally, a breed that won't bark at the postman, because it's too busy thinking about breathing. Most doleful eyes went to John Burden's marmoset, Ella Wells's proboscis monkey, best newcomer, Luke Pollard's crayfish took the order of the garter, and Kim M's crested gecko, best supporting reptile. Emma Morgan, Hannah Watson, Casper's... Paul Wheeler, Jess Riley, Laura Halpin, Chris Bailey and Bill Hughes lodged a class action complaint against the awards committee after the awards for Best Cat, Top Cat, Softest Cat, Cat Loyalty and Cat Je ne sais quoi were awarded to Bluebell Packer despite her not showing up to the event in person but competing over a poor quality Zoom link. Charlotte Kingston, Joanna Munholland, Bridget, Alice C and SG all took home rosettes for pets that could kill but choose not to. Jack Lancelot, Stuart, Sharon Rocco, Fred, Gigi Catherine, Andrew Haynes and Victoria the Elf Whisperer drew plaudits for their parallel long dogs IRL parade. Jamie Savage won the swan race, Andy Reid's swan won the guano word search, Sarah Young and her ligo won the mixed species badminton doubles, and Jonathan Arkless and his ant farm won the hearts and minds of the local population. In the plumage topiary section, Gumba Duck, Adam Cooper, Louise Robb, Kirsten Foster and Lydia Thompson were all found to have used bionic parakeets and had to be destroyed. But morale was restored in the Dance with Your Amber DNA Clone round, in which Jodie Broad and her auroch, Philip Slarks and his Irish elk, Chloe Cockett and her giant ground sloth competed admirably but were pipped to the post by Laura Dowman and her megalodon's powerful aquatic tango. Enki June won the raffle to go behind the scenes at Sean Bean's luxury trout salon, and the Pets Pet Award, unanimously voted for by the pets for undoubtedly the best pet full stop, went to Pamela Una Wozniak. Let's give everyone a round of applause.
Okay, let's work out which theme tune is going to play us out. We've had an email from Connor. He says, "Hi Beans, I've written a variation on the opening theme. Henry revealed to me that I was indeed one of those incredibly middle-of-the-road people who are turned on by guitar soloing. So I felt that in solidarity with Mike, it's only fair to send my response in the form of a Santana-style track.
Oh, Connor. Nice.
Please see this less as a fuck you, Henry, but more of a I've got your back, Mike.
I feel it, Connor.
But also see it a bit as the former.
Even better.
Yep, I'm definitely feeling it as that.
Yeah. Best, Connor from Bremen.
This is thrilling. Thanks, Connor.
So, yeah.
Let's hear it. Thanks, everybody.
See you next time.
Let's hear some Connor Axe work. Cheerio.
Thank you.
Bye.